It's fun for 10 minutes.
Oh, I know. Try and shut him up.
Is that the problem?
Is that He's hilarious.
What did he do any of his trademark practical jokes on you?
He's a gentleman.
He didn't do that?
As he's a gentleman.
So he didn't, he left you alone?
Well, I don't know if he left me alone, but he was a gentleman.
So you had Brad Pitt and George Clooney in 1 year. So I mean,
it was hell. It was hell. Notes from the war zone.
What was the order that you did all of this? Since you've got four things.
Have I got four things? I don't think so.
Three. Notes on a Scandal.
Babel's already come out, and I think Notes and The Good German come out like within 30 seconds of one another.
And
yeah.
So
good planning,
what was,
huh?
What was the order that you did them?
Kind of the order that they... No. I did... I had about 6 months off, and then I did Babel, and then did Notes, and then Good German.
Okay.
So go back to Brad and George.
Yeah.
Compare, contrast.
Oh, look, they're both... Look, to be honest, they've both got an incredible... They're incredibly humble, actually, and have a great perspective on, you know, who they're perceived to be and who they actually are and what they can achieve, really. They use their powers for good, not evil.
So how does your husband feel when you say, hey, I'm making a movie with Brad, and then I'm going to make a movie with George?
My husband's a very secure man.
It was interesting, Soderbergh just said... he thought you were very smart because what you go for is the content. He said, as an actor, you're content-driven. And I guess that must mean something other than what a lot of actors go for?
I don't know. Stephen said it, not me. So, but I...
what do you...
I mean, someone asked me in the other room, would I have done this if it was shot in the regular way, like, you know, in Romania... You know, with the way we perceive a modern eye on, you know, what the 40s didn't tell us about the wars. And I said yes, assuming that was this type of film. You know, I'd read the novel and I thought, okay, so I'm going to have to take the kids and eat dumplings for 3 months in Romania. And I was prepared to do that because I wanted to work with Stephen. And because I thought what the script was dealing with and what the book was dealing with, you know, about the beginning of incredibly morally bankrupt times. You know, what David Hare describes in Plenty as, you know, being like the death of honour that happened in the Second World War. And also to at the point where the Cold War really began, you know, the fight over the spoils, the scientific spoils, which we're now reaping which is reaping havoc now. I found that really interesting. And then I was just utterly thrilled that it was going to be shot on a back lot in LA, you know, in black and white. Then it became a meta project for me.
But and the character changed totally from the book, according to...
It was an amalgam of a couple of characters, yeah. So it was interesting to read, but ultimately the script was the...
And is there a through link in the way you decide on projects then?
No, I'm erratic and random and very what comes up at the time. I'd like to say I had a 5-year plan, but I'm not that Stalin-esque. So it really is what's on. I mean, I didn't know Babel was around till I met Alejandro, and he was very persuasive and flattered me. So that one, flattery got him everywhere with that one.
And what's on a Scandal?
Well, I really wanted to work with Judy, and Patrick Marr is a friend, and I thought the book was titillating and shocking and fantastic. But what Patrick has a great line in Damage, and he doesn't shy away from the unpalatable sides of humanity, and also he can be very blackly humorous. So the screenplay had all of that.
Can you talk about working with Judy for a minute? What that was like?
She's an absolute dream. I mean, if I can be as engaged and dynamic and generous and continually surprising at my stage of the career that she's at now, I mean, you couldn't hope for better.
Did she in that movie? Hello?
No, she did make. She made one for David Hare. Told me she made one for him after he got a bad review that had She tapestried fuck 'em on the.
Was there a time on the set where you and George both brought in your Oscars and?
And compared?
Yeah, or
they were the same. Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, can you talk
told
about
me he'd won one.
In Notes on a Scandal.
What got you inside of Lena's character? What was the key to Lena?
Well, there are a few keys really, because there was a performance key, which was more than any other film I've made, paramount, because it wasn't just connecting to a character in the way that one usually connects. You had to connect to the style, and you had to understand the mise-en-scène of the picture in order to understand one's role within it. And so the way it was lit gave an emotional and atmospheric texture to every frame, as much as... It's almost like you normally in a modern film, there's a sense that yes, you have to hit your mark, but the camera finds your performance. Whereas this, you had to find the camera, and so that was an added dimension. But I read a book, which I was given, called A Woman in Berlin, written anonymously by a journalist who was diarized her experience of living in. As a German woman in Berlin at the when the Russians came in, and the experience of being victorious one day and vilified the next, and just the daily rapes that went on, often hourly, and the suicides and the lack of hygiene, the lack of morality, the lack of dignity, and also the relationship between men and women. The way she felt that the German men just sat back and let it happen, and that rape is a really powerful war crime, and it felt incredibly modern all of a sudden. Because in my previous studies of World War II, at high school in university, it had always, I think, in retrospect, been from, even though it wouldn't claim to be, been from the victor's perspective.
Yeah.
And so history is rarely told from the vanquished by the vanquished. So that was a key. And then the other key was, this is a very long-winded answer, I watched a lot of films. Stephen gave us this sort of library of films that he was drawing from visually. But I watched a lot of Hildegard Neff's work, Maria Louise Rainier, and of course Ingrid Bergman.
Mm-hmm. And Dietrich in Important Affair?
I did watch Dietrich, but I've always watched a lot of Dietrich. So the film I watched most was... of course, I've forgotten it now. There's one by Hildegard Neff with James Mason doing a terrible German accent, which gave me hope. and she was amazing in it. It was can't remember the name of that. And I watched Notorious. Yes, I think it was. Yeah.
In Notes on a Scandal, it's so interesting. Your character in that has such a radiance that everyone wants to shag her. Do you know? She has this...
Why, thank you.
And so I had to wonder if, as an actress, when you're a very talented actress who can really access all these kinds of movies, are you able to do that in life, too? Are you able to, like, when
make
you need to...
Make everyone want to shag me. No, it doesn't work.
No, when you want to get your way, let's say you want to get your way, like, are you able to use that ability that you have to act... in your life?
Well, see, that's the part of acting that we all have. I mean, we all kind of inhabit different personas to get what we need or what we want. I don't think that's particular to actors alone.
But you have more talent at it.
Well, no, I can. I think that there's a kind of a myth, I think, that actors are kind of exhibitionists and can turn things on when they want to. And I think while some actors might have that in spades, I don't.
So you can't get...
Do you think that your style, and when you're aware of a style of the film going into it and you accept that style, does that knowledge influence the way in which you prepare or influence your style in approaching a character?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I was aware of that in this film more than any other one that I've done. I think it becomes a much more outward process. Mm-hmm. Normally, modern actors are trained to sort of make the connection first and then work out. But it depends, it really does depend project by project. I think the material lends itself to the way you prepare. I have no particular process.
For Notes on a Scandal, was the big thing there to connect with the idea that this woman, to make us understand why this woman would have an affair with a 15 or 16-year-old boy?
It wasn't really the function of the film, because she doesn't... When you do something as... as destructive as that, I think you don't even know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And Sheba didn't even know why she's doing it. And I think often in films, you somehow have to make people understand the inexplicable. And I think, sorry, I've got dry skin on my lip. I think it was more just to explain or to allow the audience to see the state she was in, and that the two women were bonded by very different, but in a strange way, similar states of loneliness and isolation.
Now, do you see yourself
as being lonely and isolated?
No, but as the supporting actress in this movie, because I was thinking, you know, we before I saw it, everybody said, oh, Judi Dench, best actress, and you look at the trade ads and it says Cate Blanchett for best supporting actress, and to me it's like it's a duet between the two women.
I have no concern either way. I mean, I think when you work with a great actress like Judy, and I hope I was like this with her, is that you support one another. But I would love to see Judi Dench win best actress.
Kate, getting back to this movie, Paul Jokerman said that girls are really bad, stay away from them, they get you in trouble, and Steven kind of agreed, Jokerman, of course. But would you call that...
Girls are bad, they're all bad.
Would you call that a big disrespective also?
He was joking though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
we victors can always joke. I think all of us in this room are victors.
Okay, what was
the deal
with the...
But what I'm saying is, how would you describe your character, though? A very good German.
I mean, the title is deliberately mysterious and evocative and ironic. I mean, who is the good German? And I mean, that's what the film ultimately deals with, is in a situation like that, which, let's face it, we are in globally at the moment. Our sense of the truth has been so violated. Our sense of what is good has been so... I mean, the words like evil, I don't think I can even use that word anymore with its full weight of its meaning, because I feel like the meaning of that word has been hijacked.
Okay, what was the deal with the Vanity Fair thing that I read about? Can you explain what that is about?
What Vanity Fair thing?
Well, I don't know that it's true. I just read about it, that you had withdrawn from Vanity Fair's Hollywood issue for reasons undetermined.
No, that's news to me.
Can you talk a little bit about the Todd Haynes movie, the Bob Dylan?
The I'm Not There.
Yeah, I'm Not There. Heath Ledger, I understand there are no Bob Dylan characters, but he said you were the best Bob Dylan.
He obviously didn't see that young black actor who was there before me, who did the most, the hour that the ship comes in, he sang the most astonishing version, and I thought it was a young Dylan singing. I mean, it made me want to weep.
So many people have tried to explain that movie.
It's inexplicable. It is completely and utterly all I can say is it's invented by Todd, and he's such a shape-shifter, genre-defying director.
What did you do to get into Dylan?
Yeah. I slipped into the suit. The wig. But the odd thing was, and the tightrope I had to walk, is that none of the incarnations of Dylan, none of whom are called Dylan. It's not a regular biopic. And I think the hardest thing will be to open people's minds to actually... I mean, my script was... Because we're all given our sides, because they're like independent films that are then put together and interwoven, so they were shot separately, was a rock star wreaks havoc on his electric tour shot in the style of Fellini. I mean, that's what I was making. I'm playing a character called Jude, who basically has an interface with the media where they feel like they're being eroded.
You had Albert Hall or Newport? Like, you played a segment with
Newport, Beatles, which we couldn't call Newport.
And George has such a reputation for being such a fun co-actor, I guess. Can you tell a story from the set that...
I'm really bad at anecdotes, I'm sorry.
Kate, what do you make of your generation of Australian actors that have taken Hollywood and just the world cinema by storm?
Well, I think that... I'd like to be positive and say, you know, that it's because there's a wealth of talent in Australia, which of course there is. But I think the Australian industry is very small, and if one wants to have access to material of all different types, films of all different genres and sizes, then one does have to travel. I was speaking to Clive James about this, and he said, did people say to Arthur Rimbaud, you should not travel? I mean, all creative people do, and I think maybe there's an understanding that in American film that that's the way people speak. So so there's not a sense that perhaps American actors have to travel anywhere. But, you know, one has to sort of shape-shift a little bit if you're going to work in the English film industry or the Danish film industry or the, you know, American film industry.
Why do you Elizabeth again? Why do Elizabeth again?
I've been saying no for a long time. Shekhar's a good friend. Shekhar Kapoor is a good friend of mine, and we've been talking about and actually developing another project together, but which hasn't come to fruition yet. But, you know, we've been talking about trying to find something to do, and he and Jeffrey have been talking to me about Elizabeth. And I just kept saying, no, there's no reason to. And then he started talking about making a film about immortality, that, you know, and about holy war and about the aging process. And then I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And then when he said, Jeffrey's doing it, Clive Owen's doing it, I just thought, I'm insane if I say no to this.
And how about the fact that Helen Mirren just did an Elizabeth
in Triumph?
I know, it was so weird. And in Notes on a Scandal, the woman on the bench at the end of the film, Anne-Marie Duff, had just played Elizabeth, and Judy had played Elizabeth. So the character, Judy's character was replacing one Elizabeth with another Elizabeth. It was really kind of three Elizabeths in the one film.
Is it like sort of a Shakespearean role or something, like where it's a classic role to play her?
She's an astonishing, astonishing character. And the thing, she crystallized England into what it is, what is taken forward as to being English culture. So she's infinitely fascinating. What happened in under her reign politically and culturally, the fact that she was a single woman, and there's so many rumors about her sexuality, her gender, and her entanglements, and the way she used those entanglements for political ends. I mean, she's absolutely fascinating.
What's your take
what would
on
an Oscar nomination mean to you
then?
This year? What would another Oscar nomination mean?
Thank you. It'd be great. But I mean, there's a lot of amazing performances by women this year. A lot.
Is there a movie
this
year that really knocked you out?
There's an Australian film called Ten Canoes, which is just magnificent.
What did you like about it?
The way it actually dealt with the storytelling in Aboriginal culture. That seems so. The way they can cross time zones within a story, and a story can be told simultaneously and exist in the dream time and in present. And I suddenly, you know, the fact that the Australian government hasn't actually said sorry to the Indigenous people, I think, is a travesty. But the fact that I understood another layer is that they have this whole payback ceremony, so that when one tribe offends another tribe, they have to have a payback ceremony. Mm. And the Aboriginal people have had no payback over the genocide when whites came to Australia. And suddenly, even though I knew it intellectually, it hit me emotionally in the film.
What'd you take on the whole Hobbit situation? Would you return to New
York? Oh, that was news to me.
Really?
I didn't even know that it was happening. So I've been directing a play in Sydney. So I've been.
You and your husband have settled back in Sydney to do
yes.
with the theatre company now?
Yes, we've been appointed as the co-artistic directors of the Sydney Theatre Company.
Could you just comment about your marvelous ring?
Isn't it fab?
It is. It's beyond belief. Mm. Where is that from?
That's Fred Leighton.
Is it?
Beautiful.
It's fab. We don't want to be punching faces.
Will that mean you're taking time away from movies to do the theatre company?
There's a 3-month. The charter of the company is that it's run by artists. And so as a result, like Neil Armfield, who runs Bell by Street, he has an out every year to direct an opera, or he directed Candy. So my husband and I will, you know, take that out. Not necessarily every year, but yeah, for sure.
And you're directing the play now, but not starring in it.
Thank Christ.
Right. Okay.
What play is it?
It's a double bill. My husband did Andrew Upton did a David Mamet for the union. It was Mamet's birthday yesterday.
Oh.
I did a Harold Pinter play called A Kind of a Life.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.